The Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus is back in your face tonight. The Big Hair Beat Off. Oh, that didn't come out right. The Big Hair Beatdown of the century, of the 80s at least, of the 70s and 80s at least. Pat Benatar versus Hart coming up next here on the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus.
You're listening to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, changing rock history one podcast at a time.
Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, Hard Rock and Metal Circus edition for March the 19th, 2019. And tonight we are talking about Hart and Pat Benatar. That is tonight's topic. So get geared up here. We want to know what you think about. We are live on Facebook. We are live on YouTube. So throw your comments at us. We ran a Facebook post a few days ago on this. And boy, it didn't go real well. I'll just say right now, it didn't go real well for Pat Benatar. But hey, it ain't over till it's over. I was going to say it ain't over till the fat lady sings, but that would be a bad taste.
I know who the fat lady is in that grouping.
Okay. So LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com is our website. Please go back, check out all the cool stuff. We're constantly adding new stuff, taking it in new directions. Podcasts almost every day now. Caught a lot of cool stuff. Check it out there. There's also some private podcasts. You got to get on our Patreon page if you want to get those. So check that all out. You can find out more about that at LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com. If you'd like to party with us live in the after show, we'll tell you a little bit about that a little bit later on, but we'll be doing a little after show tonight where we get to tell the real dirty jokes. Right, Lil?
Uh-huh.
Keith the Hawk is here, all the way from New Orleans. Keith, what's going on with you, buddy? Tell us the good word from New Orleans.
You know, living the dream down here, man. I'm living the dream. I mean, like I said, sometimes the hardest decision I make is what shoes to wear in the day. But other than that, it's all good.
At the life of a real rock and roller.
I wouldn't say I'm a real rock and roller, but at this point, I'm like a real kind of semi-rock and roller, yeah. Depends on the day of the week. I mean, I'm not always playing rock gigs, you know. So some days I play a rock gig. Some days I play a country gig. Some days I play an oldies gig. It depends on the day of the week. But in my heart, I will always be a Stone Cold G or a rock and roller.
All right, Hawkster. So, and we also have Lily V6 with us, the lovely and talented Miss Lily V6. So what's new in your world? I understand you've been very busy this week.
Yeah, since the last time we did the podcast, I've interviewed and got to see Sponge, which was very awesome.
Did you soak them up?
I did soak them all up. And the jokes keep coming. Then that was Thursday at the Craft House. Saturday at Jurgles, I saw Winger. Actually saw, Storm Dragon, which I've talked about before. Yeah. But I saw a new band, Red Rain. I believe they're from Virginia. They are awesome. Totally blew me away. You'll have to look them up.
You saw them before.
I did?
Yes.
When did I see them before?
They opened for Dokken.
Did they?
Mm-hmm. They're from Virginia. Yep. They gave me their CD.
Well, I was probably drunk.
Yes! There you go.
I know why I didn't see them, because I was in the cigar bar smoking and drinking. That's why. Anyway, did get to see them actually for the first time with a Winger show. And they were awesome.
I heard Winger's new album. It's called Karma.
Yeah.
I think it's really good. In fact, it played like in a, you know how like you put on Spotify and your list finishes and they play whatever they think you might like. And I'm like, what is this? This kicks ass. And I thought that the song was called Winger. I'm like, this can't be Winger. Oh. And it's like good. It's like dirtier and edgier and stuff like that. It sounds really good. You didn't like it?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I don't have a reason.
You're fired.
I'll leave right now. Yeah. I'll go to bed. I don't care.
You're going to miss out on that big paycheck.
Yeah.
Well, then last night, I saw Jakey Lee Red Dragon Cartel, which was awesome. Again, also Silk Nine opened. Who was the other band? God, my brain's not working. God. Oh, Icarus Witch. They are always awesome, obviously.
I need to check them out.
You do need to check them out because they are awesome.
Well, good.
I guess I didn't know what I was expecting going in to see Jakey Lee. I guess I thought it was going to be a little harder. It wasn't as hard as I expected, but I loved it. I thought it was great. I thought he performed great. Everybody else seemed to love it, too. Everybody was up and dancing. It was sort of like as packed as Marty Friedman was.
Awesome.
At the Craft House. So it was nice. It was a good time. I saw almost everybody I knew except for Lou. Whatever.
I didn't make it out to that one. So, all right, guys. Speaking of Silk Nine, we've got some great bands for you. For all y'all tonight. But we're going to start off with one of the bands we're going to be playing tonight is we're going to do some Silk Nine. We have, let me take a quick look at my list here. I'm getting everything together. I thought I had everything. You know, no matter what, how I think I have everything together, there's always something I forget.
You need
to
a
do.
Checklist.
But we're going to be listening to some Stone Cold Killer, Mississippi Bones, which is a band that I don't think you've heard yet. We played them about a year or so ago before you were a part of the show. A couple years ago. Great band. They put out a new record at the end of 2018. It's really awesome. And so Stone Cold Killer is a band I just got introduced to by Bob. I always say his name wrong. What's his name? Anyways, Bob. He's got a podcast too. We'll get that in a minute. But
I don't know Bob.
But I didn't know
Podcast Bob.
Podcast Bob and Lovesick. It was another band that he ran up to me this week. So you got to check these guys out. So we're going to be rocking out to all these guys tonight. But the first we're going to start off with, I think we're going to play. Let's get into some Silk Nine. This is their new song called "I Won't Carry You" on the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody, that was Silk Nine with I Won't Carry You. That's the latest single, and it is like out. Like, you can go to Spotify and check YouTube. It out and do the whole thing. But let me give you guys the website, because these guys are playing. They're doing a lot of really cool stuff, and we are big Silk Nine supporters here. And that is silk9.com, and it's Silk with the number nine, silk9.com. And you can check those guys out at silk9.com. So we are talking about, let's get into it, guys. Pat Benatar and Hart.
Why?
I can't.
You there, Keith? Keith, what are you doing? What are you doing?
I'm waiting for the show to start.
We've been started. We're talking to you. You ain't talking. How come you ain't talking? How much have you had to drink today?
That's a great answer.
I would like to buy a vowel.
So,
Alex, can I buy a vowel for a thousand?
Alex isn't here.
Day's not here, man.
This isn't Jeopardy? Never mind.
That was good. I liked it so much.
Goodness gracious.
All right, yeah, go ahead. So let's talk a little bit
about this stuff, because, like, this is important. People want to know what we think.
Yeah, for some reason.
They want to know what you think, Keith.
I always think something.
Obviously, but what is it that you think? Speak to me, sweetie.
I'll tell you what.
Here
this is a tale of two decades. I really like the one artist in the 70s, in the 80s, not so much, and the other one has been pretty solid through the entire career. So what I'm going to do is just start with the beginning of the Wilson Sisters in Hart in the 70s. That shit was rocking, man. I mean, that was really good. I mean, them doing Barracuda and Magic Man, all those songs are like those radio-friendly songs, but they still had that hard rock appeal, and they were still just throwing down. And then all of a sudden, they kind of fell off the radar for me a little bit there in the 80s. Wasn't my thing. But Pat Benatar is pretty much carved out a career for herself over what? Oh my God. When did her first album come out? Late 70s? And she's been rolling ever since. So this is a tough one. We'll see what happens. But like I said, it's hard to choose, but yeah, we shall.
I'll just say on Facebook, there was overwhelming, Pat Benatar is great, but I have to go with Hart. And
it's sort of a hard thing to decide, I think.
Well, let me kind of interpret that, if I could. I think Hart comes first, obviously.
Yeah.
And I think that Hart, there's tons of ladies out there who have said, oh yeah, like, if it wasn't for the Wilson Sisters, I wouldn't be doing this. It's just, you know, they've a lot of people have just been very vocal about this. So I think that they're seen as more influential because they come first. Well, it's just going to be a thing. You know, Pat Benatar can't help the fact that she's a few years younger and, you know, came, you know, like, you know, almost a decade after Hart. And so I think that's where a lot of that's coming from. You all right, Keith?
Yeah.
Okay. Just want to make sure. I think that that's kind of where a lot of people are going with the, it's Hart. I think that Hart's music in the 70s is really freaking amazing. They are a kind of like Led Zeppelin band. They bring in progressive elements. They also could get real pop, even like songs like Tell It Like It Is and everything. They could do straight up pop rock radio stuff. They could do more progressive kind of out there. Like Magic Man's got all that long instrumental break on it with the spooky synthesizer, amazing guitar work. Great acoustic stuff. So their sound in the 70s is got a lot of different textures, and it's really cool stuff. But in my opinion, when they got into the 80s, I liked their first 80s album, A Passion Works, But my opinion was they were chasing Pat Benatar when they got into the 80s. They were like, oh my God, Pat is kicking our ass. So how do we kind of do a Pat Benatar type act? And I think that's when they did like Never and all those, you know, these dreams and all these songs like this to kind of like, you know, well, how can we get that more, you know, they even changed their look to kind of have more of that kind of look and everything. So that's sort of my, I really do not, I liked some of their 80s stuff when I was a kid. You know, sometimes like stuff doesn't age well for you. You liked it. And then you go back and you go like, oh, I don't really like this. Ever happened to you, Keith?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So when I was a kid, you know, they were, you know, when I look at the whole thing now, I can't, that 80s period is almost, in fact, it's not even Pat Benatar. It's like more like Cher and Celine Dion, I think, you know, territory.
I don't know if it's that bad.
But so you're go ahead, Lily. Going to give us your sort of overview of the situation.
Well,
if you
course.
Want to throw some history, Lily's our rock historian here. So if you want to give us some history, we
I'll
like
do that first.
We love that.
Although yeah. I'm going to be a part of the unpopular opinion because I liked their 80s stuff because that's what I grew up on. And I liked that they were adapting
I
to
think
the times.
That you're something wrong with your microphone.
My microphone? You want to shut it off and I can go to bed?
I'm kidding.
And I already knew that I was going to have a different difference of opinion on that because a lot of people don't like their 80s stuff. But I thought it was cool that they were willing to adapt to the times to try to make their comeback because they were falling off their grid there for a little bit. Just to throw my two cents in for the 80s there. Although I do love all of their stuff. I do think some of their songs are a little overplayed, like Barracuda. I don't care if I ever hear that song again, quite honestly. So just going to throw that out there. Anyway, let's do a little history.
It's interesting because it's a little generational thing.
Yeah.
Because Lily is like younger than us. So she's, you know, it's very interesting to kind of get that perspective on stuff. So that's cool. That's yeah. All right. It's all opinion. So go
right.
ahead.
So
you're clearly wrong, but yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Damn. What's up with, man? Like, you know, give her a turn. You know what I'm saying?
We're just having fun. We're having a good time.
Anyway, I'll do a little history on Pat Benatar that I found here. American singer, songwriter, and actress from Brooklyn, New York. She's a four-time Grammy Award winner, and that's consecutive awards. That's 80, 81, 82, and 83. She won a Grammy. All of that. She's been on CMT Crossroads with Martina McBride, as we've discussed before on the show. She has two daughters now and lives in L.A. with her second husband, who was her guitarist, Neil. And is it Geraldo? Is that how you say that?
That's how you say it.
Okay. Yeah, she married her high school sweetheart first, and obviously that didn't work
that's
out.
That's where she got her name, though, Benatar.
Yes. And then she's been steadily touring since 1979 when her first album came out. She's a diehard feminist. She has two multi-platinum albums, five platinum albums, three gold albums, 15 Billboard Top 40 singles. And did you know that the Shadows of the Night music video included Judge Reinhold and Bill Paxton? Because I didn't know that until I watched it.
Did not know it.
And everybody pretty much wanted to dress like her, be her. She had a very cool badass style. I mean, they even mentioned it in the movie Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Three of the girls dressed just like Pat Benatar. It's like a thing.
Wait a minute. Three of the girls have cultivated the Pat Benatar look here.
Yeah.
Is that the exact quote?
I
knew Keith would know it. I knew you would know it.
I didn't even tell you names of the chicks. I can do it.
Go ahead. Yeah, what were their names?
Oh, my goodness.
Janelle Zembler, Marianne Zelotnik in the red tights. And then some other chick, I have no idea. So I was like a half lie. I forget the last girl's name. If I was sober, I could tell you the last girl.
Wow.
If I was sober.
And so Heart, American rock band.
You gotta catch up on Keith, Lily. Yeah. We're like way behind. One shot.
Nope. American rock band featuring sisters Nancy and Ann Wilson. They rose to fame in the mid-1970s with music influenced by hard rock, heavy metal, as well as folk music. They started, like I said, they started to decline in the 80s, but 85 they launched a successful comeback album, which everybody seems to hate but me. they were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2013. They have 35 million records worldwide, achieved top 10 albums on Billboard charts in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s. They're very versatile and willing to change with the times. First woman to front a hard rock band. And fun facts on, again, the movie Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Nancy Wilson's in the movie.
Do you want to? I mean, and another thing about Heart is they were honored at the Kennedy Center.
I did not know that.
They did the Led Zeppelin thing. They got up and said, there's a beautiful performance of them. It's Stairway to Heaven. That's the one that has Robert Plant crying, right? Is that it, Keith?
I believe so. Yeah, they do Zeppelin great. So I mean, that's you know a big thing. You know, when it comes down to picking between these two legendary artists, that's you know whoever can carry Zeppelin pretty good is you know that's a vote in their corner. But yeah, they do a great Zeppelin impersonation, and I've heard them do several Zeppelin songs. And they, like I said, they not only have they done it, like the electric stuff, they broke off for a while and did that Love Mongers thing where they were the girls and the two sisters with a different band, I believe, and they were just doing a more of a stripped down version of Heart, which was still cool. You know?
I saw Bonham with Heart touring with them, and Anne sang with Jason Bonham playing, and she was doing Zeppelin songs, and I have it somewhere recorded, but it sounded really freaking good. I really enjoyed it.
I'm sure, yeah. That's, you know, somebody that can definitely
carry that.
Hit those notes, and probably even better than himself at this point, but, you know, it's just.
There's a story I heard Anne tell on the King Biscuit Flower Hour where she said that they had come off stage at some concert and Robert Plant was backstage and they had their encore was Rock and Roll. This was like early 80s. So, you know, Zeppelin was over, you know, Plant was getting ready to launch his, you know, solo career. And he was backstage and they were like all like flabbergasted that he was there. And the first words out of his mouth was, "Did I sing it in that key?" He says, "It seemed really high." So, I mean, that's the ultimate compliment. Like, she was, like, completely, you know, excited that he complimented her like that. And I think that in many ways, they were kind of like a female kind of Led Zeppelin kind of band. I mean, with all the different acoustic stuff,
sure.
Folk influence and everything. I mean, they loved Led Zeppelin. I mean, they made no bones about how, like, that's like, their favorite band.
Not at all. Yeah,
that's, I mean, you know.
That's one thing. It wasn't for, bless you. If it wasn't for Led Zeppelin, you know, there would be no Heart. But then again, if it wasn't for Led Zeppelin, there wouldn't be a lot of bands. So,
that's,
I mean,
true.
Yeah, the influence is definitely the influence is strong with these ones, as that great Jedi Yoda used to say. But that's something that you just, you know, that always stuck with them. Like I said, especially when they came out of the gate in the 70s with Dreamboat Annie and Little Queens and all that stuff, you could hear that Zeppelin influence hardcore in their songs. And like I said, the only disappointment for me with Heart was I always respect them as musicians. They've always had a good band. They're you know, good musicians themselves. It's not like they're just up there being eye candy or something. That's just, they can play. They sing, you know, obviously Ann Wilson sings great. But at the same time, it's like, when it just, I know, like you were saying, Lily, about falling off the grid, but sometimes when bands come back and they kind of lose their identity, that's where they kind of lost me a little bit. That's all.
No, and that's totally understandable. I just like that they were willing to at least try to adapt.
Well, I'm probably in the minority because I think I read somewhere the other day that I think that one with Never and all those like pop songs off there, that sold like 5 million.
Yeah, it was a huge record. It was just self-titled. It was just called Heart.
They're basically just laughing all the way to the bank.
Well, let's run down the list. Okay, of the songs that and these are not all their songs. It's just a list of the ones that, like, you probably could hear on any classic rock or like a Bob FM type station, like any day of the week. Barracuda, Crazy on You, Magic Man, Never, Alone, All I Want to Do Is Make Love to You, These Dreams, Heartless, Allies, How Can I Refuse, Straight On, Tell It Like It Is, Even It Up, Baby LaStrange, Dreamboat Annie, Who Do You Run To? What About Love? I mean, I think it's like 15 songs that you could, like, at any moment, you turn on a classic rock station right now, you could probably hear any one of those songs, like, right now. I mean, that's, you know, and they're still played on classic rock, heritage rock stations every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And pop stations still play them. I mean, you know, they're more, 80s stuff is still big on, you know, like I said, the Bob FM.
Bob FM always plays them.
Yeah.
Always.
You know, so, I mean, you know, Keith and I are just a little bit more, have more music snobbery, I think.
Just old.
Wow. Really? Wow. Oh, you went.
You know
there.
What? You went there first.
I didn't say anything about you.
You told me I was
said
wrong.
I said you were young.
You said I was wrong.
Is it wrong to tell a woman that she's young, Keith?
It's wrong to tell a woman she's wrong.
It's wrong.
I never told a woman anything because you know what? You're never going to win that.
I'm figuring I'm
correct.
Dude, I've been single for over 15 years. I know exactly what I'm talking about. Never win. I put my fucking hands up in a white flag on both hands. And I say,
but yet you never learn, do you?
You win. Exactly. I'm the freaking, she said I'm a smart man. I'm the fucking Albert Einstein of that shit. I guarantee that you're not going to argue with me because I'm not going to argue with you because you know why? Because you're always right. It doesn't matter if you can't drive.
Well, as long as you know.
Okay, we're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit more about Pat Benatar and then going to do a little bit of compare and contrasting here. When we come back, but let's I want to play this is a band you may have heard of called Lou Lombardi's Strangelove. This is Pagan Mama. It's a song about a woman we're not talking about tonight. It's a song about Janis Joplin on the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus.
Just
Lou Lombardi's Strange Love, folks. And you can go to loulombardimusic.com to get more information about that, to pick up a free download. Speaking of that, I just released a new song. It will be on Spotify very soon. I'm just waiting to hear back from CD Baby once they got all their ducks in a row. But it's all uploaded, ready to go. And there will be some cool t-shirts and stuff available for that as well.
What song are you releasing?
It's called Where Have All the Acid Queens Gone?
I knew that.
And it's done. And I'm going to do, what I'm doing is I had Kerry from England do a mix, and I'm going to have Mike Ofka do a mix too. I already talked to him.
I love Mike.
I'm going to have him do, because he does Silk Knight, does a lot of rock bands. So I want to have a couple different mixes, and I'm probably going to do an acoustic version too. So it'll be like a few different mixes out. So you guys have followed me on my
private. The first studio project I ever did in my life, Mike Ofka produced.
He did?
Yeah, like in 1993.
Yeah. Yeah, he does really good work, and I want to work with him soon. We've been talking, so that's going to happen soon.
He works with Neverwake too.
Yeah, he does a lot of area hard rock bands. That's his thing, is rock. Yeah. And it's so many, you know, when I was on there's a website where you can like hire like people that like have made Grammy Award winning records and stuff like that. Almost none of them do rock.
Huh.
They're like, "Oh, but I can, but I just don't." I'm like, no, I want somebody who loves rock and needs rock and is passionate about rock. Because if you don't love it, then you know, you're not going to get what I'm doing. So, because rock is its own thing, you know what I mean? Like, you can't produce a rock track. Oh yeah, you guys want to see some? And yours is coming, Keith. We just got these.
Yeah,
I got you. I got you and Samantha's. I got. Wait, yeah, I'm gonna send them to you guys.
You know what I mean?
Yep. So. Anyways, guys,
let's talk about the personnel on that song. I mean, who's all on that song, buddy?
That's Keith the Hawk Hawkins.
What? Thank you.
That's so, it.
That's it.
Keith. I just put my name on it. He said I could put my name on it because, like, nice. That's the kind of guy he is.
I played one of the instruments.
Keith did everything else. So we talked a little bit about, you know, the list. Let's run down the list, and we can comment. You guys can comment on these and talk about these songs. Here is the Pat Benatar, and actually when I went, and I can't remember the name of the song, when I was, after I was done last night, I did a YouTube mix of Pat Benatar and Heart, another Pat Benatar song played, and I can't remember what it was right now, and I forgot to add it to the list, so there's even more, but we've got Hit Me With Your Best Shot, of course, Heartbreaker, Shadows of the Night, Hell Is for Children, Sex as a Weapon. So Hell Is for Children, Sex as a Weapon, two kind of sentence songs. Invincible, We Belong, Love is a Battlefield, All Fired Up, Fire and Ice, Treat Me Right. Her remake of the John Mellencamp song, I Need a Lover, Promises in the Dark. So those are the ones that like the real big ones. Again, you could turn on rock radio station, hear them on classic rock radio stations, hear them on Bob FM, etc. you guys gonna want to talk about any of this, or you want to?
I think it would help.
Or?
I have favorites.
Go ahead, Lily.
Mine are gonna be sort of like you would guess it anyway. It's Hit Me With Your Best Shot, Shadows of the Night, Hell Is for Children, and Invincible are my favorite Pat Benatar songs. While I do like the other ones, these are like the top ones for me. Shadows of the Night, for sure.
Shadows of the Night is my second favorite Pat Benatar song.
What's your favorite?
All Fired Up.
Mine's Hell Is for Children.
Really?
Yep.
Wow, were you an abused child?
No, not like that.
Ah! Why am I laughing?
I don't know.
I like,
Just tell like Grandma you fell off the swing. I'm sorry, what'd you say?
I like Heartbreaker the best, man.
That's a vicious tune. That's really, like...
When it comes to, if we're going to talk about Pat Benatar for a minute here, I think that, you know, we're going to shift it to her career a little bit here. So we talked a lot about Heart in the beginning. I think the two artists we're talking about, Pat Benatar is very versatile in her songwriting, whether that's through herself, I'm sure. But I think a lot of that's to do with her band. Her band that she's had for years, I mean, give or take a few members, definitely the guitar player, because obviously it's her husband, but she's had a great drummer for years. So the band was really solid, and I think that definitely Neil Giraldo's influence on her writing is evident, because he was like a session guitar player, so I think he's been around a lot of musical like situations. So you can go from something like Heartbreaker to Hell is for Children to We Belong to Invincible to, you know, Shadows in the Night. All that shit sounds different, and it's, you know, definitely her stamp on all of it, but those could be like a bunch of different artists trying to, you know, get that versatile, like, stamp, but it's not easy for everybody to do, but it just seemed to come naturally for her to write songs that were in her wheelhouse, but different at the same time. She didn't stick to, you know, the one style. And like I said, I think her, when Lily mentioned before about the CMT Crossroads with Martina McBride, Martina McBride's probably one of the greatest country singers, voices out there ever. And who is she influenced by? A rock singer that, you know, from the 80s, which, you know, maybe you would think, I'm sure she's influenced by the Patsy Cline and Loretta Lynn's of the world, but she has that little bit of rocker in her where she can definitely hang with the rock heavyweights too. And I think that that showed not only like respect to Pat Benatar, but just the tip of the cap to someone outside that genre that just has kind of crossed over to where the influence is very widespread.
That's it. Yeah, good. Well, a couple of things about the band. Neil Giraldo is one of rock's like
great
unsung heroes. Like, he's a guitar player in the same vein as like Tom Scholz, is like just great composer of guitar parts, puts things together in a very specific way and ends up creating an amazing emotional impact. Not with his solos, of course. I mean, he's a great guitar soloist. I mean, most famously, those of you that don't know, he plays the solo on Rick Springfield's Jesse's Girl. I mean, that's him playing the solo on that. So, hello.
I was just thinking that, I didn't say that. I
didn't. Yeah, well, you got like, you know, peep the peanut gallery commentator. I already knew that. Anything that's Rick Springfield related, I'm sure she would. You know, she know her IQ is like 160.
But I saw them live. Their drummer played half the night standing up.
Yeah, that's the
Guy's a maniac. Like, he would leap over the drum kit and like. I mean, he was a huge part of the show. He was fantastic.
Who is?
Yeah, Myron Baumgartner, I think is his last name. I might butcher, but he was her drummer for years. I don't know if he still is. I don't know what I know they were doing more acoustic stuff in the last few years, just the two of them. But older. Yeah, he's another one, though, as Neil Giraldo is. He's another unsung rock, sort of like rock drumming hero that I think had a very cool shtick going on. He had, at one point, he was playing standing up, probably way before Ricky Rocket was, thank God. And and he also had like cool designs on his drum kit. Like, I remember a drum kit he had when I was a kid, I was really like staring at on MTV, and he had like, you know, the orange Japanese sun on it, I think. So that was kind of it's just one of them things where it's kind of captures your attention. He always had something interesting going on, whether design of his kit or standing up or, you know, the fiery red hair, all that shit.
I think I also liked the way Pat Benatar progressed a little bit. They had done like three, four records in a row that were pretty similar. They were the Pat Benatar sound. And then they did Tropico, which they really shifted. They kind of opened things up, and that's when they hit with We Belong. And Love is a Battlefield is the first Pat Benatar song that features dancing. There's a whole, like, she's kind of in a Cyndi Lauper kind of get up, and they're dancing. And
I like it, though.
It's a fun video. I mean, and it was great at the time. I mean, it was really timely, and it showed that they could do something a little bit different, not lose their audience, and bring in maybe some more fans that maybe, you know, we're still kind of like, because the sound, 80s music was changing a little bit. And I thought that was very clever. I also really respect the fact that, like, when grunge was pumping and all these grunge and post-grunge bands were really big, Pat Benatar had a hit with All Fired Up. It was a big radio hit. It was her last hit. She never really broke out after that. But it's a great song, and it totally stands up. And if you listen to it now, it sounds just like any other great rock tune. Great guitar work, great singing, great lyrics, great, just great everything. So I have a lot of respect for it. Do you guys know that she did a blues album?
Nope.
She did a blues album called True Blue, where she did B.B. King songs and stuff like that.
Yeah. Oh, that's
it's
fine.
Very cool.
I really heard most of that, but I read that in her, like, it was kind of after that when she was falling off the grid a bit, as they would say, and then she kind of put out a...
Yeah, well, like she wasn't going to don grunge outfit. You know, she wasn't going to put on flannel and, like, try to become Alanis Morissette.
I swear to God, I would have died if that would have happened.
Yeah, she wasn't going to do... She just was like, well, this just is not what I do. And, you know, so she went and did what she felt she did best. Let me make a couple comments about... Let me compare and contrast Ann Wilson and Pat Benatar for just a quick second.
Mm-hmm.
Ann is a product of that late 60s, early 70s. So Ann has a little bit, if you listen to her sound, she's got a little bit of that Joan Baez and Joni Mitchell folk kind of thing in there, as well as a rock thing. Pat Benatar didn't have none of that. Pat Benatar is influenced more by rock, the hard rock from the 70s, like mid to late 70s, little bit of disco and a little bit of new wave. She brings a kind of a different ethic, if you will, mm-hmm. a different vibe to what she does. Great singer. Huge range, like real. Listen to Heartbreaker. Listen to somehow. I mean, she's like way. I mean,
that's great range. Amazing. I mean, there's no doubt.
But so they just have different. They occupy slightly different spaces, sonically. I think with what they do vocally, and I prefer. And I'm just going to cast my vote, and we can argue about it. I prefer Pat Benatar. Because I just feel like, A, her music was just more honest, more consistently through her career. And she has this cry in her voice. Like, every song, like, you could sing a song, you could do a song like Treat Me Right. And it could, with the wrong singer, it could come off cheesy. But she has this thing about her voice that she's like, yeah, MF-er, treat me right. You know, like, I mean, she just really brings it in everything that she does. And Anne has an amazing range. Anne can sing Led Zeppelin like nobody's business. We want to talk about that. There's a great video of her singing the Immigrant Song with Government Mule on YouTube. You can find it. It's killer.
It's probably amazing.
It's amazing. But I'm a Pat Benatar guy. So we want to go around the room. What are you leaning towards, babe?
Okay, so... I do love Pat Benatar. She's a total badass. She's powerful. But Anne and Nancy have the edge for me, even commercially. I mean, I know it's not what it's about, really. But I just really like more songs by heart. Like I said before, they had revamped to match the 80s so they could continue on. And honestly, I've seen them more. So I just really, really enjoy watching Anne and Nancy work over Pat Benatar. Even though I think Pat Benatar is awesome. I just pick part.
Keith, you want to cast your lot?
Yeah, I'm going to go with just for a couple different reasons, and then one really doesn't matter. But I'm going to go with the Wilson sisters just due to the fact that I think that when they started out in the 70s, I know they got caught up in the whole what's popular now thing in the 80s, and that's whether no fault of their own, and they got sucked into the whole rock and roll mainstream, and that's all good. Like I said, that album and a couple of the other ones too, they sold a lot of records in the 80s. I just think that the body of work favors the Wilson sisters. Anne has a very electric range where she just knocks it out of the park. I know the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame we've bitched about before, one's in and one is not, which is the Wilson sisters.
That should be in. Honestly.
But so should every, you know, a lot of people want, you know, Toto should be in. They're fucking not either.
Well,
so,
yeah, truth.
That's a whole other argument for another day.
Again.
But Pat Benatar is great. I'm not taking anything away from Pat Benatar. I think that sometimes she has a great voice. She had a cool look. She came off as that tough chick in the beginning, then kind of mellowed out a little bit, but still had commercial success. I think sometimes you know, if she was here right now, she'd probably kick me in the balls. But I think she was a product. I think she was a product of her environment, and she had a lot of help around her. I think Anne and Nancy had help, but they did a lot of writing on their own too. Okay. You know,
fair enough. Fair enough. There's the Lou Dini Rock and Roll Circus thing comes down on the side of Hart, even though, you're not wrong. It's two against one. So no problem. We are going to come back and talk a little bit more. I want to hear what the audience has to say. This is a band called Mississippi Bones on the Lou Dini Hard Rock and Metal Circus. That is Mississippi Bones, guys. Mississippi Bones. Remember that band. These guys are, I believe they are like Akron, something like that. They're neighbors of ours. But you can go to mississippibones.bandcamp.com. Check them out. Very cool band. Really neat songs. Great visuals. They do a lot. They spend a lot of time working with the visuals with their album releases and stuff. Really neat stuff. Kind of like a 50s sci-fi kind of vibe going on with them. But mississippibones.bandcamp.com. We opened the show with Silk Nine. We had Lou Lombardi's Strange Love. We got to try to get, I don't know if we're going to get to both Stone Cold Killer and Lovesick. But we're definitely going to get to at least one of them before we get out of here tonight. So what, Lily, you are the queen of the audience.
Oh,
you're the mistress of the audience.
Oh, great.
And so what do we got with the audience going on?
What do we got? Let's take a look here. So, not a lot of feedback on who likes what. A lot of hellos to everybody.
Hello.
Hello. David Gardner, however, his vote is heart. We've got a good evening from the Netherlands from Snowy Heemskerk, as we always do. Michelle Weck, an argument of heart versus Pat Benatar is like asking which can you live without, arms or legs. Both sets of musicians pave the way for future females in rock. Yes, but you have to choose. It's part of the game.
Just like Ozzy versus Dio. Which exactly. Everybody,
people are so mad about
but
that.
But five people have come up to me and punched me in the face over that.
Well, at least that's it wasn't your balls.
A little crooked, you know.
Balls deep. And that is all. Wait. Bill Sturgill, wasn't Ann Wilson voted one of the best vocalists in rock music? Probably. But that's all we got as far as audience participation. We've had a lot of watchers. Just people are too shy to talk now.
What's the matter with
what
these
about,
people?
What about no comment from Billy Altman?
Nothing. I don't think he's on tonight. I haven't seen him at all.
I think it's a school night.
It might be. Like, that matters. Probably. He's probably over it. Or he just friended Lance, so he's probably talking to Lance.
Yeah, well, you might
want to
tell Lance.
I mentioned.
We ran a post. We ran a post on St. Patrick's Day. And Jens Schwanky says heart. Tina Daniels Malesko says, well, a tough one. I grew up listening to both talents. My radio, each with its own. Both have fantastic voices. I'm going to go with heart. David Hooper, Pat Benatar was and is great, but no comparison here. And Pat, you guys got to check this band out.
I already did.
David sent me this link to this band called Fanny. They're like an early 70s all-girl group. Dude, some of the funkiest rock you ever want to hear. I will send it to you, Keith. You got to check them out. Dave Bizzard, heart is more iconic, but Pat Benatar had a hell of a run. Derek Edwards says the Heart Sisters. Rochelle Dillon, Ann and Pat, I had great pipes. A nod to Pat, who trained in opera, but Heart's song structure lend itself to heavier and gutsier vocals by Ann. Love them both. Fantastic vocalists. Charlene Catalano, always loved Heart. That's my answer. I'm sticking up. David Lawrence says the Wilson Sisters. Wow. Like I said, hands down. I'm wrong. Love them both, but honestly, Heart is in a different class. Two talented chicks, because that's politically correct. And one is a badass guitarist. The other far better singer than Pat Benatar. I disagree. So you like Heart. Jeff Gardner, hard choice. I like them both, but I guess I'll go with Heart. Neil Carr, I played in a Heart Pat Benatar Women in Rock tribute band. Both had terrific songs from the music guitar perspective. I liked Heart's music a little better, but from a personal perspective, I did exactly what the other lead guitar playing Neil did. I married the lead singer.
And there
good
it
for
is.
For you. Jeff Mazzie, both are influential. Pat had four great records, one of them a blues album. Wilson Sisters had some great albums in the 80s, reinvented themselves, iconic. I think he's going with Heart on that. Tom Johnson, Pat had a far better voice. If you ever saw Heart live, they could have used auto-tune. Ooh! So a little slap there to Heart. Nice. So, finally got somebody in my court on that one.
I've heard them. They sound fantastic.
I don't think so, buddy.
I want to do a couple of things real quick. First of all, RIP to Dick Dale. King surf rock pioneer, and today I believe today is the anniversary of the death of Randy Rhoads, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, super sad.
So sad. Too bad. You're dead.
Wow, heartless.
Heartless.
Jag.
Don't be a jag off and all that.
I hate you.
You love
I can't talk like it here. People don't understand me.
I know. What's wrong with people out there?
Like I'm in a foreign land.
Obviously, Heart is the winner here. Pat, I'm so sorry.
She's still badass regardless.
I love you, Pat.
I feel like she would kick all of our asses at once.
Put it this way. If we're taking up, taking up an entire hour and a half or whatever the hell we're doing here... artists, we're not like saying either one's bad, it's just that they're so badass, so we have to like
there's a preference, you just have to pick one. It's just
we gotta weed them down a little bit, man. everybody can be badass.
Right. Right, right. I mean, and this is the idea, is to get people talking. Like, that's the whole point of this whole thing. Oh, crap. There's something I wanted to tell all y'all. You guys got time to party a little bit?
Got a minute.
Okay, we're going to go party here in a little bit
in the green room.
In the green room. And if you guys want to get into the green room, you go to loulombardirocks.com. And we don't even need your email address. They get you right in there. And there's a lot of cool stuff in there. And people, it's so awesome. People are like meeting each other and hanging out in there and talking.
It's super cool.
And it's really growing in the past few weeks really, really well. So really excited about that. So, Pat Benatar, hard. I mean, it's not easy.
We always make it hard.
I mean, that's
what she said. I've been watching The Office a lot. You have to understand.
Keith, do you have anything, Keith, anything you'd like to talk about or add before we wrap up today's show? Keith?
No,
you all right?
Yeah.
Well, my show's on Thursday, Hot Licks with Lily 6, Rock Rage Radio, 6 p.m. Eastern.
And how do they get that again?
I'm just waiting for you to do the thing. It's either rockrageradio.com or you can download the free app, Rock Rage Radio. Also, Thursday night, I will be at John Karabi and Mike Tramp, so I will be going live for that. And Sunday, I will be at Buck Cherry.
Ooh.
Where's that at?
Buck Cherry is at Jurgles. Mike Tramp and John Karabi is at Craft House.
Getting down to Craft House.
I'm everywhere.
Lily is like, she's just like omnipresent.
You wonder why she's tired, right?
Mm. Oh, I know why I'm tired.
Too much sex.
Oh my God. No, not enough. Actually, not enough. However, I'm doing that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday because I am going to Rochester Friday. Sorry, Lance, I know you're watching right now. I don't care if anybody hears it. It's... Don't even call me. Don't even text me.
That's why it's Hot Licks.
Don't even text me because I will not be available. I'm going to be sitting on Lance's face. There, are you happy?
Well, it's supposed to be a family show.
No, it's not.
It's a man's family show. Keith, what's going on with Black Laurel? Anything you guys? You're releasing something? What's going on?
This album's gonna be done this year. I'm probably gonna kill somebody. I'm also recording Saturday. I'm recording two country originals. I don't know. That's probably blasphemy on this song, but I like to dip my toes in all kinds of water, man. Toes, I said. Toes.
Mm-hmm. Toes. One more memorial here. Bernie Terme, who worked with Ozzy, guitarist who worked with Ozzy Osbourne, passed away.
I saw that.
Where is Bernie Terme, Mel's brother, on the food chain of Ozzy guitar players? Because that's more people than I can even count.
Yeah, I think that he was a touring guy. You know, I think he was touring because Zach went away and did his own thing for a while, and I think that's where Bernie came in.
Next week's podcast, who's more prominent in the Aussie food chain, Joe Holmes or Bernie Tormé?
Wow.
I think that I think we should seriously consider the top five worst bass players.
I really want to consider that.
I think that would be super fun. But we're going to talk about that.
Back in the day that we don't call another musician.
But we're going to have fun. We'll talk about it later. We're going to go to Lulu. Go to Lulu.
One at the expense of Mark Hoppus and Nick Sixx, who are billionaires. And it's not their fault they can't play.
And Nikki's having a child at 60.
We're going to pop.
Take it easy, bro. By the time he's out of the kids out of high school, you'll be dead.
Anyway, real quick, Michelle Wax said, great show tonight. Just wanted to throw
thank you,
out
Michelle. You guys, we love you guys. We're going to pop over to our private group right now. And it's all you got to do is go to loulombardirocks.com and you get right in. Like I said, we don't even need your email or anything. Get right in. And it's a lot of fun. And we're going to continue the conversation and talk about what we're going to do next week and just have a good time for a few minutes. Okay, guys. All right. Great show tonight, everybody. Thank you so much. And we're going to bug out of here. We're going to play one last band. And next week we'll do Stone Cold Killer, but this week we're going to end with Lovesick. And just going to give you guys a little promo. Love, you can go to lovesickrocks.com. There's a track called End Up Dead. Very uplifting. End Up Dead by Lovesick on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
Great story.
Sold my soul.
I might never break this cycle.